We had a technical difficulty recording the message today. The scripture reading was recorded over the beginning of the message. The passage used was from Genesis 24, verses 1 through 28. The message deals with Abraham sending his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. This is often compared to the way the Holy Spirit is seeking to find a bride for the Lord Jesus during this age. So we will pick up the message at this point. I'm here in scripture in just a few moments for that. And we find that this servant, his devotion to his master is absolute. He wants to do exactly what he called upon him to do. Now, this it's always interesting to see in these scriptures pictures that we find. And this is a beautiful picture. Many of the commentators speak about this. Abraham here is a picture of God himself, who sends his servant to find a bride for his son. Now, the Holy Spirit goes out and convicts people of their sin and brings them to Christ. We are spoken of as the bride of Christ, right? As believers in him. So that's a beautiful picture that we have here. But the story itself is very simple. And we see here the servant going out to do his master's will. And we find that the influence that Abraham and his family has had on this servant. He's a man who believes in God, who believes in the power of prayer, and he is going to do exactly what he's supposed to do. He followed the orders that he received from his master and goes out without changing anything. He's going to trust God to lead him in this matter. So we find here the example, the lesson of example, first of all, some of the lessons that we see in this passage of Scripture. In verse 12, we find the servant praying. He said, "O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham." So here the servant is lifting up his voice in prayer and showing that he does have faith in God to guide him in the way that he ought to go. And he has learned a great deal from the example of this man of faith, Abraham, whom God had made a covenant with, that Jehovah was the true and living God, that God does hear and answer our prayers, and that God would hear him as he prayed. It's certainly something that we need to know, isn't it, in our daily life, that we have someone to whom we can go and pour out our hearts before him and have our needs met through his provision. The Lord is always faithful. It says that day by day we look to him for our daily needs. And we can trust him to supply our needs and guidance and leadership. We see here the lesson of the dependence upon God. Moving on from verse 12, we see verse 13. He says, "Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water." And then he says his prayer. Very simple. "Let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, and I pray thee that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let this one be she that has been appointed for thy servant Isaac. So, very simple, isn't it? Very direct. You know, we don't have to always try to impress God with our prayers, you know, with all of the flowery speech and everything that we might bring before him and so forth. He hears the simplest prayer, the prayer of a child, or the very, he wants to know what's in your heart, you know. Why are you coming to me? What do you need? And to worship and to praise and to give him the thanksgiving for what he does, to show our dependence upon him. See, this is what the servant was doing. And he prays so specifically, you know. He doesn't mince words at all. He just says, this is the way I want it to be. And what happens? It happens exactly like he prayed. Just as soon as he finished praying, or even before he finished speaking, Rebecca comes out with her pitcher on her shoulder, like the women carried the water, and goes down to the well. We find here the God answered his prayer immediately. And we find many times God doesn't always do that, does he? You know? Sometimes you pray about something over and over and over again, and it just doesn't seem to happen. What does that mean? That means God's not listening, right? No, it doesn't mean that. He hears us. And sometimes he answers immediately. He says, sometimes before they say it, I'll do it. You know? That's the wonderful thing about our God. He is sovereign. He is omniscient. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows exactly what is best. So he doesn't always answer our prayers the way we want him to. Right? Because it would be something that would be detrimental to us eventually. Sometimes we get our emotions stirred up and we pray certain things, and God knows, hey, they don't, you know, that's not what they really need, right? And but he can, and he does many times hear and answer us specifically. And it's just amazing to see that this happened exactly like he said. And here, it talks about, you know, he started out on his journey with these 10 camels. And here we find this lady comes down, and she says, I'll give you the drink, you know. He asked her for a drink of water, simple. She said, I will give you a drink of water, and I'll also water your camels. That's quite an undertaking, isn't it? I mean, how many people would do that? You know, here, 10 camels, and they say they can really drink a lot after going across the desert, you know. They have that, they could go a long ways without water, but then once they start drinking, they drink a lot. So here we find she was willing to work hard. I think that's a good example here. One thing that probably he was looking for in a wife is someone who's dedicated and willing to do what's necessary, right? To have a family, to take care of things. And so here he prays very simply, specifically. It's a short prayer and very straightforward. And God answers in the same way. She comes right out. You say, well, it's just a coincidence, right? It's a coincidence. It's an awful lot of coincidences coming together here, it seems to me. And I believe God answered the prayer very, very clearly and specifically. So then we find the lesson of a faith and assurance. We find here that she came out just as soon as he prayed. He believed that God was going to hear and answer his prayer. You know, what good does it do for us to pray if we don't believe God's going to hear us? Faith. Faith is what we need. To believe God is good, he is gracious, he's loving, he's kind, he wants the best for us. Do we believe that? Yes. Yes, we do. You know, sometimes people get the wrong idea about God. He's the judge. He is the judge, of course. And he will call us to task about the way we've lived our life. Yes, he will. But in the end result, God is love, right? God is love. He loves us. And he proved it by sending Jesus to die for us and to come forth from the grave. And he's going to take us to heaven. My goodness. Isn't that wonderful? Think of that. We have faith to believe that. We expect an answer. And faith demands an answer. Here, he would have really been in bad shape if this had turned out differently. Right? Here he come to the right place. God led him to the right ones. It's Abraham's family. He came right there. And she comes out at the proper moment. And everything is working exactly right. And then what would have happened if he didn't believe? So the faith must be strong in God to look to him and find the answers that we need. So she comes down, she introduces herself, she tells who she is, and says there's a place for him to go and to spend the night and to meet her family and all of these things that he was looking for. It all worked out so well. It just came together, didn't it? And we find here the lesson that we have of praise, prayer and praise. In verse 26, we find that when the man got what he desired, in verse 26, the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham." And I would say not only of Abraham, I think he was the man, he was the God of this servant too, wasn't he? He definitely had faith. It's not only the rich and powerful, it's all of God's people. He believed. He says, "Blessed be the Lord God, who has not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth." And I love this statement here. This is something that I underlined it in my Bible. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." I, being in the way. You say, "Well, God doesn't seem to be leading me anywhere." Well, are you in the way? Are you willing for God to use you? Are you looking to him? I, being in the way. You know, they say you can't steer an immovable object, right? If you got your car going, what do you have to do? First of all, you have to start it up, don't you? Turn on the key, get the motor going, and you have to put it in gear. You can't go anywhere if you just sit there. You got to get going. "I, being in the way, the Lord led me." If this man had never sat out on a trip, he could have sat under his tent there and prayed till doomsday and said, "Oh God, bring me this this bride, right? It wasn't going to happen. I being in the way. See? The Lord expects us to do something, right? It's true that we're saved by God's grace. We are saved by God's grace. But it also, it says right after that, that he has created good works for us to do. Right? By grace are you saved through faith. That not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship. He's the one who made us. Created unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should do. You see? It all works together. Faith. We are saved by grace through faith, but we are to put that faith into action and get into the way. Move along. Allow God to steer us in the right direction. That's what happened here. This man found exactly what he was looking for because he allowed God to guide him. You know? And so he found what he wanted. And then we find out they asked Rebecca, you know, if she's willing to go with this man. I can't read this whole chapter because it's too long. 68 verses. You don't want to stay here, you know, all day. So we'll skip around a little bit. But we find here that the man presents the proposal that Isaac needs a wife. He's the promised seed of Abraham. He needs a wife in order for the line to go forth and Rebecca has been the one chosen. And what's she going to do? She said she was willing to go with him. Here, I underlined a couple of other verses. Here, verse 40, the servant said unto me, he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee. This is Abraham speaking, and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. So this was his main preoccupation, and he did. And now, in verse 48, he says, I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord, and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. So what are they going to do about it? Verse 50. Then Laban, that's her brother, and Bethuel, her father, answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. So it's very evident that this is God's will, God's purpose, God's plan. And what can we say about it, you know? We can't go contrary to what God wants. You get into trouble when you do that, right? And so anyway, we find here the Rebecca is willing to go with him. And he says in verse 52, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. Over and over again, we find here the worship and praise of the servant and of these other believers. Giving God the credit for what he does. And certainly we need to do that as well. So they come back on their way. They set out on a journey. This servant, so dedicated to the task, he wouldn't even eat until after he presented the proposal. And then the next day he insisted on leaving, going back. Home again with the bride. And she was willing to go. And so they set out. And they blessed her, it says in verse 60. They blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions. Had high hopes, didn't he? And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels, followed the man, and the servant took Rebekah and went his way. So they're on the journey. And then they come close. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Lahairoi. That is the Lord, where the Lord sees me. For he dwelt in the south country. Verse 63, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. So here we find Isaac, also a man of prayer, meditation. And here he is going out to meditate in the evening. And he sees this entourage coming toward him. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. You like that? I shouldn't tell a joke. But anyway, I always think about lighting off a camel. That's, you know, anyway, I shouldn't have even said that. But anyway, it's a quaint way of saying it. She got off of her camel, and she had said unto the servant, what man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? She had never seen him. And the servant had said, it is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah. She became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. So his mother had died when he was 37. Now it's been 3 years, actually. And he's now 40 years old, and he's receiving his bride and comfort from the death of his mother. She, of course, had treated him with such love and respect all of his life, and had the privilege of raising him to the time when he was a man. But now he has his wife, and setting up a new life together. It's always a wonderful time. So the lessons we learn from this story, we see with our example, we are to lead others to know God, like Abraham led this servant to know God. Our faith and trust is to be always in the Lord. We see throughout this whole thing, the servant constantly depending upon the Lord to guide and direct him. Prayers are very simple. Talk with our Heavenly Father, the one who loves us. We don't have to worry about that. Faith always receives its reward. When you trust the Lord, He will bless you. We are to exalt and praise the Lord in our prayers and in our life. And then we see the ending, how God brought these people together to start a new life and to continue with His plan for the future. Of course, eventually through them, the Lord Jesus came into the world down the line and provided salvation for all those who will believe in Him. So it all works together. And we can praise God for all of His blessings to us. Father, we thank You for Your word to our hearts today. We pray, thanking You for the privilege of prayer, that we can call upon Your name anywhere, wherever we are, and know that You hear and answer us. We thank You for the salvation that we have through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray Your blessings upon us now as we celebrate Holy Communion, that we might truly remember what Jesus did for us on the cross, and that we might be thankful, that we might live our lives in keeping with Your holy will in all things. May our Lord Jesus Christ receive all the glory and praise, we pray, in his name. Amen. Okay, let's turn to page number 480 in our